The body dies. It loses its agglutinous, you might say, its gummy ability to hold on to an individual. And dead, the individual goes away. He forgets about it immediately, mostly because that's an awful lot of loss suddenly. You know, he suddenly isn't anything. That's the prime postulate that sticks with him. He's been thinking he's a body. Now the body dies, and he isn't anything. He recognizes this suddenly. And each time he recognizes this, he begins to think of himself, this energy production unit, of having no personality, and the body of having all the personality. The body gets the credit for everything. The body gets all the attention. The body does all the communication. And all this time, this individual actually is the only live thing in the vicinity of the body. The body is a manufactured vegetable, you might say, and is alive to that extent. Well, we get entrapment then. First, the highest level of it is one gets trapped onto this curve of absolute necessity to survive as what he is. And having been caught on that peak of the curve, he can no longer create, he can no longer destroy. He's very unhappy. He begins to think of himself as the only one. He'll never have another chance. He starts plowing through life. Life looks awfully grim and terrible to him. 50% of the people you run into, when you say, be 3 feet back of your head, suddenly come into possession of the recognition of what they are. Kids particularly. Maybe 80% of kids will do this. Why? They haven't enough experience in common yet with this body which they're in to do otherwise. They're still trying to convince themselves that they are a body. Now, you've done a miraculous thing here. You've also solved all the problems of religion. Brahm's religion was how to guide and take care of the human soul, which was undoubtedly bound for hell. Well, now, this other is an unjustified supposition. Any Thetan who gets stuck to things, of course, does not want to get stuck in the molten center of the earth. He doesn't want to get stuck there. That's a bad place to get stuck, he figures. And so it worries him. And somebody comes along and says, hell is down and it burns forever. This will worry him too. You have just returned into some individual's hands the immortality in this lifetime, which people have been trying to sell him at great cost for a price. You just said, be 3 feet back of your head. A lot of people you run into, they 3 feet back of the head and say, what the hell? You know, I'm not a body. Gee, don't I have to be good or think right thoughts or do something in order to be exteriorized? No, it has nothing to do with it. Be 3 feet back of your head, the fellow is 3 feet back of his head. Of course, he isn't in perfect condition. He's in a state of unknowingness. He's still attached to the body and terribly dependent upon it. He's quite upset about life in general and the responsibilities that he has. But nevertheless, you've just put him out on the fringe of the trap. He can at least stand around the gate and look inside. That's quite worthwhile, isn't it? You just cracked another riddle that has more than creaked the brains of all the philosophers of all time. What is man? What is his destiny? Wrong target. We could describe the body and the body lines and what are the destinies of the body lines simply in terms of where the body lines have been. They've been through an evolutionary chain, so forth. It doesn't have anything to do with the individual. It's just as significant to trace the body line of dogs or of grass. As far as anything that's fine or anything that's therapeutic or anything that's beautiful that the individual can sense and so forth, you don't study the body to find out about that. You better study the individual. Now, where do we have this step limited? Well, it's just limited to this degree. A lot of the people you say this to, probably 50% or more, that you say this to, be 3 feet back of your head. Some of them uncertainly are able to do it, sense some truth in what they're doing. And the remainder of them just chunk. They're really stuck. There's a problem. Well, what happens? Well, you have to go on down into step two. The individual couldn't be. The truth of the matter is, if he was 3 feet back of his head, actually the best processes to use are advanced course procedure. It is grand tour and all the rest of it, and very fast auditing and so forth. That's really the best thing to do. But let's just assume that we have to have a process here which is very simple to use and which won't harm a step one, which will actually make him better, and which will make things pretty good in his case, and which it's terribly simple for an auditor to use or instruct somebody to use on him. Now, there's that little hooker. Let's say you're out in Keokuk someplace, and there aren't any professional auditors around there. There's some bright boys. Well, you could train them up awfully fast to use these steps. All right. Step two, whatever you see, whatever you're looking at, duplicate it many times. In other words, get another one like it, a mock-up just like it, a mock-up just like it, a mock-up just like it. See, we don't care what the fellow's duplicating. He's telling me 3 feet back of his head. You don't even have to ask him if he is or isn't. Your next step is whatever you're looking at, duplicate it many times. Now, find a nothingness and duplicate it many times. That's all there is to that step. He will, incidentally, if you kept up this step, he will eventually, as you pass through this step, as the many times you go through this, he'll eventually be getting mock-ups of his body. And he'll be duplicating it many times, you know? Bodies, 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 bodies. Well, whatever you're looking at, that's all you're asking. And the key command is, whatever you're looking at, duplicate it. In other words, get a mock-up just like it. One. And then another one just like it. One. You know, one at a time. Duplicate. That's the essence of communication. Pick up a person's communication level. All right, what's the next thing? Next step. That's all there is to step two. Step three has two parts. And the first part is take hold of the two corners, two back upper corners, by the way, not the front corners. Not the front corners. Ran into somebody's telling me one day, he says, you know, the technique doesn't work at all. I said, what are you doing? Well, you see, I can't hold on to the back corners, so I always hold on to the front corners. Technique doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work. You get the two upper back corners of the room. And you kind of hold on to those, not getting on a stepladder and holding on to them, but just sort of sit there, and the wall that's in back of the preclear, he just holds on to the two upper corners. He sort of gets the idea of holding on. Actually, you get a little visio of them and so forth. If he does this very often, if he does this very long, he will eventually get to a point where they're quite visible to him, and he realizes that before this, he was holding on to a picture of them. One day, he really finds out he's holding on to the back corners. This is quite a surprising thing. Now, you don't have to run this process until he has a complete clear picture of it, because as you get him along the line, he eventually will have. So we're not, no strain at this. You ask him to hold on to the two back corners of the room and don't think. The auditing command is, hold on to the two back upper corners of the room and don't think. Have him do it for at least a minute. Don't ever do it for less than a minute. For no value. But you could also have him do it for 2 hours. And do you know that a large percentage of your case, maybe 10-15% of the cases that didn't come out on step one, would come out by holding the two back corners of the room for a couple of hours? It has been done for 60 or 70 hours, each with benefit, each hour passing greater benefit to the case. What's it do? It takes the individual's attention off thinking, off figuring, off worrying, and so forth, and it makes it possible for him to just relax. But it's much more than this. It permits him to selectively and actively, on his own determinism, concentrate his attention. It isn't. The environment now isn't telling him, look here, look there, look over this way, look up, look down, look back, look front. No, he's saying, I am looking at the two back corners of the room. And every engram facsimile he has, these things, these pictures, these image pictures, engrams, facsimiles, can demand one after the other. Look here, look there, do this, do that, look out, the app, trying to distract his attention as they come in. He pays no attention to them at all. He simply holds on to the two back upper corners of the room. That's the first part of it. The second part of it is now pick out spots in space where you are not. The auditing command is pick out some spots in space where you are not. Now, you could do another little change on that. You could say, pick out some spots in the body where you're not. Now some spots in space where you're not. Now some spots in the body where you're not. Some spots in space where you're not. If you did that for about a half an hour, your boy would exteriorize. It's a murderous process, by the way. I have seen it done on a pre-clear now, 5 hours without change or stop. Just that one. Pick out some spots in the body where you're not. Some spots in space where you're not. Some spots in the body where you're not. Some spots in space where you're not. Some spots in the body where you're not. Some spots in space where you're not. He's asked each time to get it with certainty. He has to be certain that he's not there. And an individual will exteriorize on this. This is another exteriorization process. All right. It has two parts then. Step three has two parts. It's done consecutively to step two, of course, and it is followed by step four. You just do those two parts. Hold on to two back corners of the room. It really doesn't matter how long you do it. It'd be very good if you made him do it for 10 minutes. Be very good. And the other one is get some spots in space where you are not. That's the pure command. I mean, that will settle him all by itself. And if you really wanted to use it for an exteriorization technique, as I said, you could yank him out of his body. You could practically boot him out of his body. Three spots in the body where you're not, three spots in space where you're not, three spots in the body where you're not. But that's not necessarily a part of 8D. It's just a variation. The two essential parts are hold the two back upper corners of the room and some spots in space where you're not. And now we go into step four. Step four is the last and final step of this process. It is run with an E-meter. It can be run without an E-meter. I wouldn't advise it. It means, oh, 4 or 5 times as much time in processing. It means a lot of wasted time running it without an E-meter. What do you do then? Pre-clear, sitting alongside the E-meter. You put the electrode, the can, in his hand, and you have him press the can about 15 times, one right after the other, telling him to squeeze the can, let go, squeeze the can, let go, squeeze the can, let go. This is E-meter technique. Squeeze the can, let go, squeeze the can, let go, squeeze the can, let go. When he's all through about 15 times, he will no longer convulsively grip the can. What you've done is get him used to having that in his hand, and you've actually run out the convulsive type of engram he might feel there, which would disturb the readings. So you put him on that. Now you set your E-meter with the sensitivity, the red knob of the E-meter, just high enough so that when he squeezes a can suddenly and hard, the needle drops 1/3 of the E-meter dial. And that's the way you set an E-meter. That's all the sensitivity you need or really want in an E-meter. Your meter can give you enormously greater sensitivities than this. But to do this type of assessment, you will get too many readings on a more sensitive reading meter. If your sensitivity were higher, you just get too many readings. You just get blurred finally. You're only trying to shoot the moon with this process. Well, if you wanted to find out whether or not he was lying or something of the sort, this would also suffice. It'd drop on it, all right? How do you set the E-meter then? You have the pre-clear sitting there, and you're looking at the E-meter dial. He isn't. It's faced away from him. He doesn't look at the E-meter while he's doing this, by the way, because it starts him fighting the meter. He starts arguing with the meter. He watches it to fall after he says something and so forth. So you just face the dial and don't let him face the dial, all right? When he squeezes the can convulsively and hard, the needle drops 1/3 of the dial, and that is the proper set on the sensitivity knob of the E-meter. Many people find E-meters very difficult to use simply because they set them too sensitively. All right, now, after we've done that process, we ask the individual this. We say, tell me the people that you have been associated with since birth. Just name them off. You sit there with a pad, or if you don't really care to keep track of it, that is to say, if your memory is very good, your memory is very good, you just check them off, and as he says this one and that one, you put down their relative reads. He says, well, I've been associated with birth, of course, since mother and father and my great-grandmother and great-grandfather and my grandfather and my grandmother. Well, that's going a little bit too fast. It's also going too darn fast over the meter to register. So a good way to slow him down is for you to write it down. And he'll wait for you to write it down, see? That gives you a slow chance for the facsimiles to come in. Now, in view of the fact that different sets of facsimiles are liable to fly in, and that it takes a moment or two for these mental pictures to fly in, facsimiles, then we are presented with a problem that we'd better put a little lag on the line. So the best way to do it is to sit there with the E-meter. That's why the E-meter is very good for this, and why taking the notes are very good. So you sit there, pad, and he says, father, and you say, you've written your pre-clear's name at the top, John Doe, and you put down father. Now, don't look at the preclear. Preclear isn't going to tell you a thing. A face has been educated to lie. Actually, a man's hands are a more reliable index than his face. You say, I wish I could read faces so I'd know whether or not people were lying to me. You read a face, you know all about lying. A face lies all the time. You feel like hell and you go down the street with a bland, passive look on your face and so forth. A face is an educated liar. So look at his hands, if you have no e-meter. And for heaven's sakes, have an e-meter. And look at the dial. Don't look at the preclear. Look at the dial. Now, you'll check over on this. You will very often find that you have made this rather silly blunder. You've looked at the preclear. Don't look at him. Look at the dial. He says, Father. The dial drops. There are three drops now. There'd be the drop which just made it twitch. Very little. Small drop. Doesn't matter to anything. There's the drop which fell about half of a dial. And then there's the drop which just goes dial after dial after dial. And don't think you won't get these occasionally when the individual, even with the E-meter turned down on its sensitivity like that, he says, oh, yes, well, there's somebody else in the family. I've forgotten who it is. Somebody else. Aunt Isabel. Yes, Aunt Isabel. Dong, 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 dong. Your meter starts to file off the pin. Well, you make an appropriate code. Don't try to write big drop or how many. So I'm just making an appropriate little code, whether your own or as it is, opposite father, mother, grandfather, and so forth. And watch that dial. He says father, and he gets a small drop. So you put down your code letter for a small drop. He says mother, and he gets a just twitch, nothing bad about it. And he says grandfather. And the needle goes rigid, no twitch at all. That's the other manifestation. There are four manifestations you're interested in here. One is stuck. The needle just sticks suddenly and rigidly. This means that he is faced with grandfather. He is in a fixed position with relationship to grandfather, and there's resistance there with regard to grandfather. This will free up. That isn't what you run. You don't run that stuck thing. Later on, it'll free up. But you just note the fact, sooner or later, Grandpa's going to show up here, and you're going to have to run him. All right. We look over this list when we have finished it, and we find that there are two or three people on it who got remarkable drops. And we take the biggest drop we got, and we run it. Just like that. That's the one we concentrate on. That person. And we run that person in two ways. And it doesn't matter too much whether you run universe processing totally or ownership processing totally. Well, these are two processes. They're very simple processes. Each one of them consists of just one command. So it's very easy to run these processes. It wouldn't matter if you ran ownership processing for a couple of minutes and the universe processing for a couple of minutes, and ownership processing for a couple of minutes, and universe processing for a couple of minutes, because all it would mean would be varying your command. But remember, each one of them has entirely different manifestations, so on both of them, if you're using the two of them that way, run them both out. Use them both. The preclear is still on the E-meter. You've just got through making an assessment. You know who it is now. Who it is what? Whose universe he is enclosed in and is having trouble with. Every individual is himself a universe, and individuals get meshed in other people's universes. We have this physical universe, and it gives us a general agreed-upon universe. So there are three kinds of universes. There's the individual's universe, there's the physical universe, and there's other people's universes. Now, there's a law in here. A universe is subject to the postulates of the God of the universe. The universe is subject to the postulates of the God of that universe. In other words, if you're in Mama's universe, you're subject to Mama's postulates. Where you're subject to Mama's postulates, you're in Mama's universe. See that? All right. You know, everybody says, God put this universe here, and therefore he's boss. And what he says goes. The physicist, humorously enough, is studying the postulates of God when he studies nuclear physics. Ohm's law is a postulate of God. It isn't necessarily your postulate or my postulates, but it's one of God's postulates. But God is an agreed-upon individual. All right, as far as we can tell. Now, our main point here in universe processing is to get the pre-clear out of other people's universes. Why? An individual is, in essence, able to shift postulates as long as he's well and happy. He can change his mind. But when he gets up to the peak of this curve, when he's pushed into this, he must survive as himself forever, he's at a position where he can't change postulates. You know, he can't change his mind about things. Life's horrible. He can't suddenly say to himself, well, life's all right and life would be all right. You see? He can't change his mind. He's lost his flexibility, his fluidity. He's persisting on a certain set of postulates. How does he get into that condition? By getting interiorized into other universes that he's own, where other postulates are effective upon him. These other postulates are so effective upon him, each one, that he cannot help but respond to them. So as he tries to get out of this morass and mire, he tries to change his mind. He can't change his mind because he's not God of the universe he's in. You see that? You have to get him back and individualized before he can freely change his mind and make any condition come about which he desires. So universe processing separates him out from these universes. What is then the essence of any universe that is troubling the pre-clear? What is the essential essence of a universe? It survives. It continues to exist. It endures. That's what's the trouble with it. But that's only the trouble with it if that survival is entirely senior to the pre-clears. See? So we have the problem of senior survival. Senior survival. Now, universe processing is run by spotting spots in space where things are safe. That's the essence of it. Now, we want to know what things have senior survival to the pre-clear. And you read those right straight off the e-meter. Father, mother, this, that, so forth. When you read that biggest drop, you read the biggest trouble in universes. You read also the seniorest survival, the greatest survival about that universe. So he's fighting the survival of these other universes. Actually, it's perfectly all right to have all these universes exist at the same time. Actually, as you run your pre-clear, you find out he becomes very, very happy that there are other universes and so forth. But he's only in trouble about it while you're running him. So let's separate him out with this auditing command. We found out that Father's universe in the assessment was what gave him a great drop. All right, then the first thing we audit on him after we've gotten all of our assessment done, we say, give me some places where Father would be safe. Oh, he says, Father, he's saying, oh my goodness, oh. Gee, Father could be safe all over the place. Well, you say spot a couple places. Now, you actively make him spot these places, you see. That's the trick. Don't run this process without making him spot the places. Because you're combining enough processes, you see. Have him spot them in the messed universe space. All right, where are the places where Papa would be safe? Now, get him to get places for sure where Papa would be safe. And we just got lots of places. He said, Papa be safe everywhere. That's not good enough. You say, point out the places where Papa would be safe. And the first thing you know, why Papa is less and less safe, and Papa's more and more safe, and Papa's less safe, and then Papa, boy, is he unsafe. And Papa's safe out there in the lime pit, and you run into all kinds of manifestations of this character. When the needle goes idle, no great registry on Papa anymore, go back to opening procedure. That's with universe processing, when the universe is idle. But let's say that the universe wasn't idle. Let's say this started taking a lot of time to run Papa's universe. Let's say this goes into 45 minutes of large meter reaction. Well, let's switch on to the other half of step four. What does Papa own? What's he own? Only the auditing command which you've given. Give me some things which Papa does not own. You see, here's another method of getting at the universe. Of course, if Papa owned everything, if it's Papa's universe, then Papa owns everything. Well, here you will hit a long, long communication lag on most of your pre-clears. This is the way, by the way, which I have been running. I've been running it alternately that way. Now I'd come down the line again after the needle went idle. We ran places where Papa was safe until the needle was kind of idle. Then we ran some opening procedure. We ran some step one. We ran some step two, some step three. The reason we did this, you see, is because that guy's liable to bang out of his head after you've just taken off this much Papa. He's liable to exteriorize and be in good shape and, gee, feeling real good and ready for a grand tour and all the rest of it. So don't miss. Don't just go on arduously processing forever on step four. Go on back there to opening procedure. Run it on through again. And then when we get down, we're going to still hit Papa. because he didn't blow out of his head, see? What we're going to do is we're going to get things that Papa doesn't own. And we're just going to beat this to death. And we're going to make him spot where these places are. And we're just going to ask him places that Papa, things that Papa doesn't own. And particularly, spaces Papa doesn't own. Things, spaces Papa doesn't own. You're liable to get a 45-minute communication lag on your preclear. In other words, he's liable to sit there stupidly that long trying to find a place that Papa doesn't own. Well, if you've already, however, run universes to some degree, the chances of your finding that long a communication lag are very slight. You've already fixed it up a bit. So you run opening procedure, run down the line. See, the first time we ran universe, all the places Papa was safe. Now we run opening procedure, and we get down the line, and we're still on Papa. We're going to go right in with Papa. Things that do not belong to Papa. And we're just going to run things that don't belong to Papa, and things that don't belong to Papa, and things that don't belong to Papa, until, my golly, he's always with certainty. So he's got to be certain that doesn't belong to Papa. Spaces that don't belong to Papa, until this fellow can heave a sigh of relief and say, God sakes, look, that ashtray doesn't belong to Papa. All right, we've run it till the needle went idle on the E-meter again. In other words, there's no great reaction on this. We go right straight up to opening procedure and right straight on through. Well, by golly, if this dog doesn't exteriorize that time, we take the next one on the list, the next lower reaction. And after we've run about three of these reactions that we got on our original assessment, which were wild reactions and so forth, after we've run about three of these on both ownership and places where they're safe, and the rest of the procedure, and the guy doesn't exteriorize, you're dealing with a hidden personnel. So take another assessment, and there's a very fast way to take an assessment on this if your case is hung fire that long. It probably is the universe of the first sexual partner of the preclear, or it is something called the spirit of man or the spirit of woman. Just ask him to run where these two things are safe. Now, that's going much further than most cases would go with him. But here we have, where would the spirit of woman be safe and what doesn't belong to the spirit of woman? This might sound like gibberish to you, but it won't to the preclear after a very short space of time. Well, in essence, then, this is an E-meter technique. It is run repetitively over and over because you're only trying to run this type of process until you get somebody out of his head. When you got somebody out of his head securely, with certainty, and so forth, the place to go really is advanced course procedure immediately. Grand tour, change of space, avalanches, and so on. Fast operation. And SOPHC still does people a lot of good. That's advanced course procedure, contains all those things. All right, then. This is a method of exteriorization and a simple method of processing. Now, it's much simpler than I have made it sound here. Remember, it consists at the outside of about 10 auditing commands. This is real simple. But more than that, it works and produces action like no process ever has before, and I hope you have a lot of success with it.